Amen. How many are realizing that the battle is intensified? Amen. However, the greater one is in us than the one that's in the world. But we have to learn how to rely upon Him and receive from Him. You know, sometimes we have difficulty receiving from the Lord. You ever have trouble receiving from the Lord? And I want to talk a little bit about that today. We need to believe until we see. The world uses the term, I'll believe it when I see it. And so really, it's in the reverse order of that, in a sense, where we can say, well, no, I will believe it until I see it. Now, I want you to think about something else, though, because it's also true that you will receive what you can see. Not with your natural eyes, but with your spirit. You can receive, you know, what you can see with your spirit. And I want to talk a little bit about that today, hopefully to help us and help myself as well, as we're all growing in this together, to understand how to receive from the Lord and how to be in a position where God can use us in a greater way. How many know that God saves us with a purpose? He didn't save us just to go to church and learn the Bible, right? He saved us so we would learn how to do what He did on the earth. We are to do what Jesus did. As He was in this world, so are we. We are to be Christ-like, and we are to walk like Jesus walked. Has anybody here arrived at that yet? No. So we're in the process of developing in Him, learning to lean on God. Amen. So that we can be in a position to be used of Him, to be a vessel for God to work through in a supernatural way. He is a supernatural God. So we should be expecting and believing and seeing supernatural things. I'm not talking about sensational things all the time. Once in a while, something sensational happens, but our lives are to be characterized by the supernatural. Because in Christ, we're no longer natural. We are supernatural people. So our lives should be characterized by that. If we're just like the average Joe in the world and we claim to be a believer in Christ, something is missing. There must be fruit. There must be evidence. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and that your fruit would remain. Now, we know the church is likened to a bride and the bride of Christ. And, you know, no groom would want his bride to have divided affections, right? And you're going to want your lady to be sold out for you, amen, all in. Not double-minded, not partially with you and partially with Joe, right? But, who's Joe? Hold me back. So, likewise, in the Spirit, the Lord likens you and I as to a bride, and He's the husband, amen? And so we are not to have divided loyalties. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth, seeking those whose hearts are what? Loyal to Him. And, you know, I saw a brother yesterday, and I've known him for a couple years now, and he's part of Chris's church down there. But I just said, you know, brother, when I see you, I see faithfulness and I see loyalty. He's one of those guys that just says, joined to his hip, you know, to Chris. And he just said, man, how can I help? You know, we're doing this for Jesus. We're doing this together. But, you know, God raises up, amen, leaders. And they need loyalty. They need people to join with them. I'm not preaching to you today about me, okay? I'm making a point that we are to be loyal to our God. Amen. And we are to be loyal to those who we see as well. What we do in the natural, what we do in this world, has a direct correlation to the Spirit. If we are faithful in the things that are less, amen, even the unrighteous mammon, if you will, you know, the money in this world, we need to be faithful. We need to be tax-paying citizens. Amen? We don't want to be stealing, right? Because what we do in the natural has an effect in the spiritual. And if you can be faithful in the natural, God can trust you in the spiritual. See, there's some people that they think there's this big gap or separation between what they're doing in the world and then their Christianity. And that's so false. There's no separation. Because how we are in this world is connected to the Spirit. If we're honest people, amen, integrous, trustworthy, loyal, these good qualities, then there is a blessing in the spirit realm for you. There is favor in the spirit realm for you. The Father sees everything we do. He knows our secret hearts. He knows how we really live. Not how we present ourselves to people and want them to think about us, but how we really are. The Father's looking. He looks upon the heart. Amen? And often, you know, man, we just look at the outward appearance of somebody and we make judgments. Well, that guy's wearing a suit and a tie and he's all, you know, good looking. And he must be a pretty squared away, nice, upright guy. He could be a mobster, you know. You don't know. And sometimes, you know, you hear these stories about people say, man, he seemed like the nicest guy. And then he's out, he's a serial killer, you know. But God sees the heart of people. So God is looking for loyalty. And one of the problems that we deal with is double-mindedness. And double-mindedness means really split loyalties. It's like, yeah, I believe you, Lord. I'll be loyal to you, but I also kind of like this thing over here too. And I'm a little bit torn between the two, whether I want to live for me in the flesh and the world and live for you in the kingdom. And a double-minded man is unstable, as James said, right, in all of his ways. So we have to repent of this thing. We have to turn away from that. And we have to fully submit ourselves to God. Now, when you pray, I want to read this to you. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, he said, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. He didn't say, hope that you will receive them. He says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive them. Okay. So if I'm going to pray for somebody, I need to pray as though it's already finished, already accomplished, already done. Faith is, right? It has evidence. It has substance. So if I'm praying for somebody, well, God, maybe if, whatever. No, it's you pray as though it were already done. Jesus said, what I see my Father do, I do. What was he saying? Was he actually seeing this Father? He was seeing him in his heart's eyes. You see, our imagination is a gift from God. And unfortunately, today it's being messed with by the world, right? And as a matter of fact, they don't even want kids to use their imagination anymore. We just let the video game do it for them, right? And corrupt their minds. But your imagination is not sinful. It's what we allow to be projected on the screen of our imagination that determines what it will accomplish, what fruit is there. Amen? So if I'm entertaining the wrong kind of thoughts, you know, well, I'm projecting the wrong thing on the screen, amen? And obviously, that source is satanic. You can't always help having bad thoughts. Everybody gets bad thoughts. But you can decide in your heart what you're going to do with it. Whether you're going to entertain it or you're going to deal with it and say, no, not going there. And you have to change. Amen. Cameras or projectors and say, I'm not going to allow that to be projected on my screen. Amen. I'm going to shift to Philippians 4:8 and whatever's true and lovely and of good report and those things. Think on those things, right? You got to shift to what God is telling you to do. What God would have you to meditate on or think on. Now, we need to believe, again, that we already possess what we ask for. How many know that God lives outside of time? So it's not an issue of when. It's either it is already there or it's not. It's already a reality or it's not. So when I pray for something, I have to believe that it's already a present reality. Faith is. Faith is right now. Faith is. Not faith might be, will be. We do have a thing called hope. But faith, believing and receiving, means I believe right now that it's already there. I'm going to give you an illustration. How many here have a bank account? Okay. Now, how many of you have some money in your bank account? A few hands went up, right? Yeah. But you got to have enough money in there, right, to keep it open. Right? You got to keep that bank account open. Now, how do you know there's money in that bank account? How do you know? Do you see it? Well, but you do see it, though. But not, come on. You get that little piece of paper that says, hey, there's money in there, right? And of course, most of us are aware that your money is nothing more than numbers, right, in a computer bank being tossed around electronically. Right? Is there gold backing up that bill? Well, I have some questions about that one. Come on, we're in virtual world now, virtual money. Right? But in the kingdom, it's real. Amen? Heaven's resources are real. They're there. All that we have need of, God has. We have an account in heaven. But how do we know it's there? The same way you know that you have money in your earthly account is because when you think about it, you think about maybe a safe deposit box, and I can see some green bills in there. You know, there's my money. Or maybe somebody may think in terms of gold. Yeah, there's some gold in there. But I have a piece of paper here saying, hey, I've got gold here, right? There's something to evidence that. So if you believe you have money, then you will go to your bank and you will draw it out. But if you don't believe there's anything in there, you obviously won't do that. That's how simple it is, folks. Receiving from God is believing that God already has the answer and everything you have need of. And all you got to do is by faith believe in your heart that it's a reality, a present reality, and pull that which is in the invisible into the visible. When we witness a miracle, it is the unseen becoming seen, right? It's what's invisible becoming manifest in the natural. When somebody receives a healing, you know, God does a work. And yet before we can even see that with our natural eyes, we have to see it with our spiritual eyes. In other words, I have to first believe in my heart that this is going to be a reality, that is a present reality. And when I pray, Jesus, just like Jesus said, believe that you receive it. Even if you're not seeing any instant results, when you pray, believe that you receive it. And then begin to give thanks to God for it. Lord, thank you for hearing my prayers. Jesus prayed for Lazarus. And before he prayed, he said, Father, I thank you that you hear me and that you always hear me. But for those who are standing around today, I said this. so they can understand a little bit about what's going on here, that you do hear me and that you always hear me. But you see, the problem is we have unbelief. We're double-minded. We believe maybe God's going to hear me today because I was especially good. You know, but then I had a blunder earlier today and oh, God's mad at me. He's not going to do anything for me. And your mind starts to waver. You know, if you mess up, you simply go to the Father and confess it. Get over it. Amen. Let it go immediately. Don't wait. You don't have to wait. Deal with it right away. And just thank Him for forgiveness. It's already done. The blood is already there. Amen. It already speaks on your behalf. Believe it. Receive it. And then make your petitions known to your Father with full expectation that what I'm asking for is already done. That's how you receive. And that's why some people, they pray, are always praying, praying, pray, 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 and never ever receiving anything. Never see a miracle. God never moves. Why? Because they're really not praying the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is me saying faith is. Amen? It's substance, it's evidence. The evidence of things not seen, right? So, God calls you and I as His followers, followers of Jesus, to be doing the things that Jesus did. All of us. It's not just for the preacher. Amen. The preacher's job is to equip the body for the work of the ministry so that we can do what God told us we could do. The problem is that we don't believe that often. Israel didn't believe that they could possess the promised land. They didn't believe that God would back up what He told them He would do. And God was insulted because they didn't believe Him. When we don't believe God, we're calling Him a liar. God doesn't really mean what He says. That's what the devil tells you. Oh, God doesn't really mean what He said. And He'd come up with all kinds of doctrines to try to convolute your mind and get you all confused. Well, is it this way or is it that way? And He divides your mind and He gets you double-minded so that your life is unstable because you don't really have a focus. So what I want to talk about today is being focused as an individual. Being focused. When you pray, you need to focus and you need to pray without doubting. Pray as if it's already done. Stay focused. And when those other things, the doubts try to come in, you're just like flies. You have to swat them away. Amen? Stay focused. You know, if you can imagine something, you can create it, good or bad. Look around our world. Look at the art. Look at everything that is made by the hands of man. Somebody had an imagination. Somebody created in their imagination. Before this chair was ever built, it had to first be pictured in somebody's imagination. So this is something that God gave us because we were created in His image and in His likeness, right? We've been given a creative ability as people to create. I marvel at the creativity of certain people. I don't consider myself that creative, but some people I'm like, wow, man, my daughter is very creative. I mean, she's an artist and she can visualize things and she can just, you know, paint it. And it's like, wow, that's pretty good. You know, I can visualize stick figures, you know. But we all have creativity and we all have the ability, different abilities that God has given us. And we're to use them for good. We're to use them for the glory of God. So in Genesis 11:6, this is at the time of the Tower of Babel, remember? And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do." You remember they were all coming together, one world order, and saying, "Let us build a tower unto heaven," you know? Basically, they were worshiping. I believe they were worshiping the hosts of heaven. And they said, "We will not basically allow God to rule us. We will rule ourselves." There was the secular humanist of the day. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they imagine in the King James or propose, it means the same thing, to do will be withheld from them. Have you ever pondered that thought? Where God said, now, nothing that they imagine to do will be withheld from them. We are witnessing some amazing things and scary things that are happening in the scientific community today. Would you agree? Transhumanism, all kinds of whacked out stuff, messing with genetics. Because man has the potential to do amazing things through the use of his creative ability that God gave him, his imagination. The problem is this, hear me, is that we have been subjected through the fall to the knowledge of good and evil, and therefore we have to be careful of what way we're using our imagination, amen, which direction we're going with it. And we can use our imagination for good or evil. So that's why we have the evil in our world. How many know it all began in the imagination? Because your inner person, and that's your spirit really, is capable of all kinds of good things, but it can also create bad. So we have to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. It affects everything you do. What goes on in your heart will affect your life. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. If you don't guard your heart, if you don't guard your thought life, it can mess you up big time. Eventually, what you continue to think about, meditate, dwell on, will manifest outwardly, visibly in your life. When somebody goes out and decides they want to murder a bunch of people or be a serial killer, they had to have first allowed their imagination to go there. Amen? And the problem is this, is if people don't guard their imagination, they open a portal to the enemy, to the demons, and they come in through that channel because they're looking in the wrong direction, amen? And they're opening a door for the enemy. They're giving him permission by allowing him to use their imagination. That's why we have to turn away from sin. That's why we have to guard our minds, what we think about. And so God's saying here, listen, nothing will be withheld from them that they imagine to do. That's how much power man has been given on the earth. We are witnessing in our world today the new world order, everything coming together, one world religion, one world financial system, right? One world bank, if you will. They're working on a one world military. It's all happening very quickly. And we have to be aware of the time we're living in. And as followers of Jesus, we need to know who we are. And we need to be about our Father's business. God has given every one of us in this room an assignment to destroy the works of the devil. Not to be a part of it, but to destroy it and to expose it. Matthew 5:28, Jesus said, I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Huh? Everybody say, well, I've never committed adultery. Right? But Jesus knew their hearts. And he's saying, if you're looking on a woman, and what he really meant by that is if you're looking with intent in your heart, not that you saw an attractive woman, but if you look in your heart with intent to commit adultery with her, it's as if you've actually done the deed. Do you understand? Everything begins, folks, from the inside out. It's not what enters into a man that defiles him, but what comes out of him. See, that's a superior reality, is the invisible realm. So we've got to allow our imaginations to be submitted to God, to the will of God and to the glory of God. And then, you know, Jesus, he just dealt with things at the root. You know, everybody thought they were doing pretty good till Jesus showed up and just started saying, but I say to you, oh. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Matthew 15:20. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So again, our inward life is eventually going to manifest in our outward life. Now, we all know about the Pharisees, right? There's Pharisees today still, by the way. They're in the church. But he says, you're good at covering things up. That's what Jesus was telling them. You guys appear on the outward to be holy and to be pure and to be righteous, but I see your heart. You're nothing more than a whitewashed tomb. You appear holy on the outside, but you're full of dead men's bones. He said in Matthew 23:27, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. That's why it's so important that we are renewed in the spirit of our mind. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If your mind is not being renewed, you're not going to ever know the will of God for your life. If you're not submitting yourself to God and allowing Him to renew your mind, amen, through prayer, through meditation and the Word, by a work of the Holy Spirit, right? Then you're not going to be able to prove what is the will of God. So a lot of people that live their entire lives, even as what they would consider as a Christian, but you can ask people who have been, I've asked lots of people, well, how many here, you know the will of God for your life? And it's shocking how few hands actually go up. The people will say, well, I'm still here. God must have a purpose for me. Right? Have we all said that? Yeah? You go to visit somebody in a hospital, they didn't die, and they say, well, God must have a reason for me to still be here. I'm still not dead. But the question is, do you know the will of God for your life? It's not enough to just assume there's a will of God for your life or know there is, but not actually know what it is. How many want to know what God's will is for your life? Amen? Why? Because we can't do the will of God unless we first know what it is. Jesus put much value on the will of God, didn't he? He who does the will of my Father abides forever. So our imaginations have got to be sanctified. I mean, they've got to be set apart for the Lord and His purposes. Remember when Dick Williams comes, we call him a tumbleweed prophet. He plays a guitar and he prophesies. He just kind of walks around very spontaneous and he prophesies as he plays. But he talks about the sanctified imagination. You got to have your imagination set apart for the Lord. So the only thing that's going to be projected on this screen is going to be pure and holy. Amen. It's going to be from the Lord. I'm not allowing the enemy to mess with my head. I'm not going to let him get in there and start filling me with all this other garbage. Amen. I have to deal with it right there and sanctify imagination, my imagination to the Lord for His purposes. And so that's how we function in the spirit realm, folks, is by the use of your imagination that's been sanctified to the Lord. And the Lord will begin to show you things in your spirit. On the screen, He'll project things. So like Jesus said, as I see my Father do, I do also. Do you understand? We have to first see it. When you pray for somebody, you have to first see that person being healed. And that is a sanctified imagination because that is the will of God. So we can say, I know it's the will of God to heal. So when I pray, I'm seeing you already healed. I'm considering it done already before we even pray. We've had people healed on their way up to be prayed for. But we have to understand something. We have to be focused when we pray for people. Just went last Wednesday. In fact, in Sunday night too, we had the two ladies that have been coming recently. I think they're from a Baptist church, but they've been coming. And one of them received a healing Sunday night, and their sister came up and was prayed for. And I don't know exactly what happened, but she had been had chronic pain for years. And she was, you know, prayed for in the beginning of that time. And by the end, she still had no pain in her body. Thank you, Jesus. But we first had to say, you know what? I see God healing you. I see God healing you. Focus there. Focus. Faith is believing that what you're asking for, you already receive. And then we pray in agreement. And let the person join with you in the same agreement. Because when there's two of you agreeing, there's power. If two of you shall agree, amen, as touching anything you shall ask in my name, it shall be done. Now, why do we want to do these things? Why do we want to pray for people? Why do we want to heal the sick? Why do we want to cast the demons out of people? Because it's the will of God for us to do so. Because it's to bring glory to the Lord. Amen. It's to draw people to Jesus and not to ourselves. If we love people, then we want to see people healed. If we love people, we want to see people set free. I hate to see anybody stuck in addiction. Amen? Because I know that my God is able. I mean, He did it in my life. But double-mindedness will prevent the power of God from being released in your life and on your behalf. If I'm double-minded about it, well, you know, sometimes you pray for people, and the very next thing out of their mouth, I've had it happen before. Do you believe that God can heal you? Oh, yes, we pray. And then the next thing they say, well, I've got a doctor's appointment on. They didn't agree that it was a right now thing. They just, well, go ahead and give it another shot. Do you understand? You don't receive from the Lord that way. You receive believing that right now, faith is. Right now, God has already settled this thing. God has everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Through the understanding and the belief that I have an account in heaven that I can access. It's called my Father's house. Amen. And my Father's house is everything that I have need of. And because we are kingdom citizens, we are children of God, we can come to the Father and make our petitions known and believe that when we're asking for something, that we're already receiving it. Just like you go to your bank. Hey, if you ever go to the bank and think, you know, full confidence, you go in and you put your card in there and you're like, huh? Right? You ever have that happen? Well, hasn't happened recently, but it's happened in the past more than once. And I'm like, what happened here? Or you get that overdraft notice, right? Yeah. Come on, somebody. You know, we go because we believe that when I put this in, this card, amen, some money's going to come out. So I activate it by faith. By faith, I insert the card and I put the number in and I'm expecting something to come back out of there. Well, you know, that's the way it is in the spirit realm. It's the same thing. It's the same principle of faith, believing, simple faith. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, I did a whole series on this. I'm not going to get off on that today, but I want us just to touch on this today, please. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations. That's the King James, or arguments, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So what is that that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? What is it? It is anything that goes counter to what God says. So when you pray, He says, you need to pray as a child. A child just believes that they are going to receive. True? They believe. If you say, here, they just reach their hand out and they get it. So when we pray, we have to keep it simple. The problem is we complicate something that is so simple a child can understand it. As a matter of fact, children are usually receiving faster than we are. Amen? Because we've gotten logical on the way somewhere, and we've got to kind of have everything in our formulas. Well, according to my latest formula, you know, Jesus just said, ask and you shall receive. Keep it simple. I'm going to put the last S on there. But just keep it simple, right? And come as a child and believe that what you're asking for, you're going to receive. And you'll receive it. And he says, bring every thought into captivity. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought into captivity. To what? To the obedience of Christ. Again, if I'm praying for somebody, and I'm just praying that, oh, whatever, you know, I hope things get better for you, you know. No, that's kind of saying, well, maybe and maybe not. But when we pray, we have to pray as though it's already finished. We have to focus. So we need to, again, focus long enough until the power of God is released through us. You and I are simply vessels that God uses. Amen. He's not a respecter of persons. We're simply vessels that God uses. So we have to focus when we pray for somebody and just allow God. Wednesday night, we had a young lady come into the glory tent, and she was dealing with some spiritual issues. And so we didn't have to make a big deal out of all that. We just said, you know, we knew who our God was and that God is able. And, you know, we just stretch out our hands, just like the Father. Amen. He stretched out. Amen. And he called into existence that which wasn't. And we have a creative ability because we're made in the likeness of God. So we look at that and we say, you know what? Jesus said, cast these things out in my name. Well, we don't need to add anything to that. Don't overthink it. Jesus said, do it. And if he said, do it, he's going to back it up. But if I allow my mind to waver between maybe this will happen, maybe it won't, then you're not going to receive. Why? Because you won't receive anything as long as you're double-minded. So when you pray for somebody for deliverance, you have to focus and say, yes, this person will be free. I see this person already as being set free. You see it? No, not with these eyes, but you know, but we see it, right? We see that person being free. That's why if somebody says, hey, I'm having a trouble, or there's demons running around my house, or I'm having this spiritual thing going on, I'm having nightmares, whatever. It's like, well, hey, let's get together. Let's get together. Get excited because God is greater in you than he that's in the world. And Jesus has given you an opportunity to help somebody get set free. And you get to be the vessel that he uses. You know, you don't have to call me, right? And if somebody wants me to come out to their house, I will. But you know, you have the same. If you have the Holy Spirit, you've got the ability, amen, to say, devil, you are not welcome in this house. And in the name of Jesus, we command every unclean spirit out of our house. And we call, Lord, your glory, your presence, your Holy Spirit to come and dwell in this house. And we decree in this house there will be righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. The believer's authority. Take authority as a believer in Jesus. You see, we're to equip, amen, for the work. So you can do the stuff. We're supposed to do the stuff together. Amen. We got our superstars and, oh, I wish I was them. And I wish, how about being you in with Christ? Just be who you are. You don't want to be anybody else. You want to be you. Because if you're not you, somebody's going to miss you that needs you in the body. We need every one of God's people serving, working together in the ministry according to the measure of grace that God has given you. Every one of us has something to contribute. Amen. It's not about just coming to church and hearing about it. It's about, okay, I heard about it. Now I'm going to start doing it. Now I'm going to start practicing it. I'm going to look for an opportunity. You walk into the store and the clerk is there and going, oh, 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 are you all right? Oh, my shoulder's really killing me. Well, hey, guess what? I believe Jesus can heal your shoulder right now. And we focus and we say, I see that shoulder in my imagination being healed. Do you understand? And as you pray and you focus, and all you're doing is allowing Holy Spirit to work through you to touch that person, all of a sudden they go, whoa, that's amazing. And then they want to thank you, but I say, hey, thank Jesus, right? Because yeah. I didn't do it. I yielded myself, that's all I could do. But God does the work. And you know, it's exciting to serve the Lord. Practice. Start practicing. Look for opportunities. It's not all about the miracles. It's not about the spectacular. It's about just being an example, living this, amen, before the world. And when the world is stressed out and worried and fearful, and you're just, oh, what a beautiful morning. And Leon, in fact, he sang yesterday, what was that one? The sun or a beautiful day or whatever that song was. I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. Come on, you know, there's something about that. I can see the rain is gone. You got rain going on right now? I can see the rain leaving you in the Spirit. Because what you first see in the Spirit then can become manifested in the natural. Now, this also has to do with hate in the heart. How could John say that anyone who hates his brother is a murderer? Huh. I never killed anybody. I would have liked to, but I never killed anybody, right? Because when you are hating in your spirit, it's actually the real reality, folks. You just don't see it with your natural eyes yet. But if a person hates someone, they can actually be murdering them in their heart. You see, it all begins with a heart, and it flows out of the person's life, and it defiles the person. And it defiles others too, doesn't it? Yeah. So we see that with, again, lusting in our hearts, amen? Or imagining the demise of somebody that you despise or you don't like. Do you understand how powerful your imagination is if it's not sanctified to the Lord? Let me give you another example. A bitter root expectation. A bitter root expectation is when we are expecting something negative to happen to us. You know what I'm talking about? I remember getting offended once in church, more than once. And I took an offense. And so I said, I'm leaving here. Bunch of hypocrites. Don't treat anybody right. When I didn't realize at the time God was testing me. God was trying to develop me so that I, amen, could get some roots and I could learn how to forgive and the grace of forgiveness, amen. But all I could think about was this person who mistreated me. You know, of course the enemy gets in there and he magnifies it. And if we entertain it, then we get offended and then we go out. And everywhere we go, well, probably going to be more of the same at this next church. Sure enough, you come with an expectation of that, and you're sowing something in the spirit realm. And guess what? It will manifest in the natural. If you have an expectation of rejection, everybody rejects me. I'm just a nobody. Everybody treats me like a nobody. If I live with that kind of imagination, guess what? What I'm imagining in my spirit will eventually manifest. And guess what? Everybody all of a sudden is rejecting you. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Isn't that true? How we really think. If you think you're a loser, you'll be a loser. I don't necessarily, I'm saying I'm endorsing Trump, but you know, Trump has learned a few things. He who listens to the way he talks, what comes out of his mouth, I'm a winner. And he is. Now, I don't like the arrogance. I don't like that. You know, we're not going there, but, you know, I'm praying for the man. God can change his heart. Wouldn't that be great? But he has learned some things, and what he's saying is what he's believing about himself, and what he says and believes is what actually manifests in his life. I'm just a loser. You know, I've been there, man. I was a downcast person growing up. You know? Always trying to please but never able to please. You know, and it's just like everybody I knew betrayed me. Betrayal after betrayal. So then I got to a place where I started to expect betrayal. I can't trust anybody because nobody can be trusted. How many know there are people you can trust? But you can get in such a funk that you can't believe that you can trust anybody. And that's a prison to be in, to live in. God says that you're precious. God loves you. He loves me. God is not against me. God is for me. God is with me. God has an expectation for a future and a hope. God says that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amen? We're not losers, we're overcomers. Now, when you make a mistake, that doesn't make you a loser. It just means you made a mistake. But a winner is one who will look at the mistake and say, well, I'm not going there again. Amen? We'll turn this around. I'll get a little wiser. I'm not going to let it keep me there. I'm just going to learn from it and go on. You see, failures can be stepping stones to success. Anybody that's done anything great in this world has learned to keep going even when they fail. To not give up. To keep pursuing. Edison, how many times? 150-something times he failed. I heard some number like that. He just kept trying. He was convinced. He was seeing it in his imagination. And even though it wasn't quite coming out the way he was expecting, he kept seeing it there. And eventually, guess what? It manifested, and we've got, praise God, we've got lights. Amen? But I'm talking about a spiritual principle here of receiving from God. When you pray, you must pray with an expectation that you're going to receive. Your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. Seek the kingdom above everything else, but ask and you shall receive. That's it. Seek and you'll find. Seek means stay focused. I've prayed for people. I say, how do you feel? And they're like, well, a little better. Let's pray some more. Seek, seek, focus, seek. Be persistent. And I've seen many times where somebody was healed after several times of praying. But we prayed and we were consistent about it. And all of a sudden they got out and they walked out. There's other times, but hey, it's up to God, right? All we need to do is believe when we ask. Don't worry about if you don't see things the way you think you should see them. It's God ultimately that does the miracle. Amen? Has this been helpful today? The first thing we need to understand, folks, is that we need to love. We need to love one another. God's commandment is to love. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You look in John 15, verse 16 and 17. He goes on to talk about what does he mean by obeying his commandments. Well, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. No. He's talking about all those, but all encapsulated in one commandment. What is that? Love your neighbor. Love one another. You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Now, if God tells you and I to go and bear fruit, we're not to question that. God would never ask you and I to bear fruit unless we were capable of it. He would never ask us to do anything without backing it up, right? The problem is we are double-minded and we're not quite sure if God really means what, and the enemy comes along and says that God didn't really mean what he said. See? He takes away the simplicity and he complicates it. That's what he did with Adam and Eve, right? He says, I chose you, you didn't choose me, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So what is that commandment? You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. When we walk in love, we have favor with the Lord. Do you want favor with the Lord? Do you know your prayers can be hindered if you don't love? Amen? Or if you hold hate or unforgiveness or bitterness in your heart towards anyone. You got to get rid of that stuff. That's a bad seed. Amen? That's bad fruit. You want to get rid of that. So there's a connection here between bearing good fruit in our lives and an active prayer life. Bearing fruit and an active prayer life. Somebody say amen. Because we cannot bear fruit except by the grace or the ability that God alone supplies. Isn't that true? We cannot bear fruit except by the grace or the ability that God supplies. God is the provider of all good things. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That word seek means to search out, investigate, crave, demand, worship even, require or seek after carefully. So, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him, pursue him, are focused. When you pray for loved ones, you have to pray as if they're already saved. See them in your heart's eye as being saved. What you see, you can have. What you create in your heart eventually can manifest. Isn't that true? True? So if it's the will of God, then we have to receive that as truth, reality, and we say, God, you said this, I'm believing this. And I'm seeing it as a promise already fulfilled. And I will seek until I find. I will stay focused. I will not waver. I will not give up until I see. Amen? The result of faith. Faith in that God has promised is already a done deal. Is this helpful? You get it? It's like you got to see it before you can have it. We hear the word of God. The word of God comes to us. The voice of the Lord speaks to us. And then it becomes the picture. First, God spoke the sound, let there be light. First, the sound of his voice. And then there was light. So it is, we can see in the Spirit first. And what I see my Father do, I do. What I hear my Father speak, I speak, Jesus said. That's how we're supposed to live. With a sanctified imagination, submitting ourselves to God, amen, not allowing our thought life to be polluted, amen, by anything else except the will and the purpose of God, to meditate on the word, on the truth, on the promise of God. And without faith, without believing God, it's impossible to please him. So God's saying, I want to answer your prayers. It's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, it is your Father's good pleasure. the Father's good pleasure, to give you the kingdom. Does that mean me too? Yes. So if it's His pleasure to give me the kingdom, then if you, being evilly said, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? But you have to believe that what God said is already a done deal. It's already settled. He said it already. The word will never pass away. So that means that what Jesus said still stands. Thy word, O God, is forever settled in heaven. It's settled. It's there. It's a promise. It's a promise because it's not a historical fact. It's not something written with pen and ink. It's a living, active, powerful, life-changing word that is right now available to those who will simply receive it. Believe it, amen, and then it will be manifested in your life. God's pleasure is to give us the kingdom. I mean, He isn't just talking about going to heaven. He's talking about you and I abiding in Him, walking this thing out and praying, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth. Manifestation of the kingdom of God and His power in this realm. We are to go and destroy the works of the devil. And we are to be like John the Baptist to say, prepare the way of the Lord. The Lord is coming. Jesus is risen and He's bearing witness through the sign that He is alive. I'm getting excited.